coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. The Christians in Philippi were especially close and dear to the Apostle Paul. They had been generous, sending gifts to Paul while he was in prison. Now Paul gives thanks to God for what he had done to and through the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, Paul gives thanks to God and prays. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise to God. Paul keeps good memories of the Philippians, memories that come back to his mind again and again while he is in prison. Every time Paul remembers the Philippians, he gives thanks to God for them. Paul also prays for the Philippians. By the way, thanksgiving and petitions are two of the main components of prayer. Paul prays for joy. The apostle went through painful and sad experiences years earlier when he worked in Philippi. And now he is imprisoned, which is obviously a hurting condition to be in. However, he prays with joy. The expression joy appears 16 times in the letter to the Philippians. Joy is one of the main features in this letter. What is joy? Joy is much more than happiness. Joy is the inner delight that derives from an intimate relationship with Christ. In Christ, believers encounter joy because of what he has done for them and given to them. Paul prays to God with joy because of the Philippians' partnership in the gospel. They had not only provided the apostle with means to sustain his life, but also joined together with the apostle by believing the gospel and seeking to extend that gospel to others. In the same way Paul was serving, so also the Philippians served. So it is supposed to be today in churches. Pastors and members serve together, side by side, in the proclamation of the gospel and attending the spiritual and physical needs of people. God had begun a good work in the Philippians, bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ and empowering them to serve. Paul is confident that the Lord will bring this good work to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. The apostle has the firm confidence that what God creates, he also brings to completion. The Lord is the first and the last, which means that what he begins, he also finishes. So if God calls people to faith, he stands also at the end of the call to bring each member to the desired goal, that is, complete salvation. This promise of the Lord applies to us. In times of doubts, temptations, suffering, and the like, Remember that God, Holy Spirit, called you to faith in Jesus Christ. He placed you in a peaceful and secure relationship with the Savior. He has begun a good work in you. The same Lord is faithful and will not let you fail in the Christian faith and hope. Rather, the Lord will sustain you and keep you secure until the end. Paul holds the Philippians deep in his heart in all circumstances, both while he is confined in a prison or while he is in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul and the Philippians are sharers in the same grace of God. If Paul suffers, so do the Philippians. If he defends and vindicates the gospel, so do they. Paul sees himself as an extension of the Philippian Christians and as joint participants with him in his troubles and triumphs. Paul calls God to be witness to the intimate affection he cherishes concerning the Philippians. He cares about the same things and in the same way as Christ Jesus. Then follows a prayer of Paul on behalf of the Philippians. He does not pray for material prosperity, for physical health or comfort. Paul prays for spiritual blessings. He prays for increasing measure of love, for growth in knowledge and insight concerning salvation. Paul prays for the ability to discern what is best, pure and blameless. Paul prays for an overflowing measure of the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, that is, a life of good deeds naturally produced by the Christian faith. This is a beautiful example for our prayers. What are the most important things to ask for ourselves and for others? Obviously, there are material and physical needs which we are encouraged to take to God in prayer. However, above all, we are reminded to ask for those gifts which pertain to our eternal salvation. Turning back to the text of Paul's letter, we read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, about the advance of the gospel. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul addresses affectionately the Philippians as brothers, brothers in the same faith and the same Savior Jesus Christ. The apostle is saying that his imprisonment ultimately served a noble purpose. It gave him the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to civil and religious leaders in the hearing of soldiers and countless others. As a result, people talked about the apostle and, more importantly, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's testimony to Jesus encouraged others to follow his example. We are inclined to complain and to ask a number of questions when we are facing adversities in our lives. We learn from Paul, however, that God can work out good results from difficult circumstances. Somewhere else, Paul writes, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." In Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, Paul refers to preachers of the gospel and their motivation. We read the following. "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. The gospel preaching stimulated by Paul's imprisonment stemmed from either one or two sharply opposed motives, envy and rivalry, or goodwill. Those who preached Christ out of envy and rivalry had selfish ambition in mind, spoke evil of the apostle and of Christ, aiming to cause trouble for Paul while he was in prison. Those who preached Christ out of goodwill were motivated by love, aiming to defend the gospel and consequently the imprisonment of the apostle. Irrespective of the motives, nonetheless, Christ was being preached, says Paul. That was the important thing. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ gave reason to the apostle to rejoice. In our days, there are sincere preachers driven by goodwill and love. Sadly, there are also dishonest preachers driven by selfish ambition who make of the gospel a big business, misleading and exploiting people. It is commendable and necessary for us to examine the motives of preachers against the revelation found in Scripture. In doing so, the truth will be found out. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 26, the apostle says that to live is Christ. This is the text. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet tell which I shall choose, I cannot. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. In spite of facing adverse conditions, Paul rejoiced. Why? Because he was confident that God would answer the prayers the Philippians were saying on his behalf. Paul rejoiced in the midst of tribulation, because he trusted that the power of the Holy Spirit would work in such a way to either release him from prison or to take him to heaven. Paul had an eager expectation and a strong wish that to happen, and so he would have no reason to be ashamed of anything, but would have courage, so that at the end Christ would be exalted, whether by the apostle's life or death. Paul makes a remarkable statement when he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If Paul lived, his body would honor Jesus Christ, because the gospel would be proclaimed through him. If he died, he would bear witness about life eternal in Jesus Christ that cannot be taken away. Paul wanted to continue to live and to preach the gospel. On the other hand, he desired to depart from this life and to be with Christ, which is far better than enduring tribulation here on earth. Which I shall choose, I cannot, Paul says. At the end, Paul expected that the Lord would preserve his physical life so that he could continue to be an instrument of God in advancing the gospel. If he remained alive, the Philippians would also benefit in the sense that they would rejoice abundantly on account of him. As far as we are concerned, the Lord knows best whether to keep us alive or to call us to himself in heaven. After all, whether here on earth or in heaven, our life is Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, Paul encourages the Philippians in the Christian life. We read the following. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The apostle advises the Philippians to live out consistently with what the gospel teaches and inspires. He encourages them to stand firm in one spirit, that is, to be united and to work strongly together for the gospel without fear of those who try to bring about opposition. Particularly where the gospel is under attack, Christians need each other and must stand together. It is also true that persistent opposition to the church and the gospel is a sure sign of eventual destruction of the opponents, since it involves rejection of the only way of salvation. By the same token, when Christians are persecuted for their faith, this is a sign of the genuineness of their salvation. Believing in Christ very likely brings about suffering at the hands of those who oppose Christ. That was the case of Paul and the Philippians as well. Paul and the Philippians had this in common, suffering for Christ. May God keep us standing firm in one spirit and striving for the faith of the gospel. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again in our next study.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.